Let's bow in prayer. Father, we sing those words, but no doubt for some of us it is just words. There is conflict in our soul. All is not well. Perhaps because we are unsure of our own salvation, we are unsure of where we will spend eternity. And it is not well in our soul. Or perhaps we have trusted Christ as our Savior, but we have chosen to go our own way. We've chosen to do our own thing. We've not humbled ourselves in obedience to you, and it is not well with our soul. And I pray this morning, Father, that as we open your word, you would convict us, challenge us, humble us, change us. Help us to be able to say when we leave this morning that it is well with my soul, because we have made things right with you. To have that peace like a river can only be on your terms, not our own. May we truly know you as Yahweh Shalom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me, please, to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Everyone says that they want peace in this world. Everyone clamors for peace on earth. You ever wondered why, if everyone wants peace on earth, that we don't have peace on earth? If everyone wants it, why don't we have it? There are wars and conflicts all over the globe this morning, and day by day it seems to get worse and worse. If everyone wants peace, why is there no peace? The answer really is quite simple. Everyone wants peace, but we want peace on our terms. And if we can't have peace on our terms, then we are willing to fight in order to have peace on our terms. We simply want our own way. As long as we want our own way, there will never be peace. James chapter 4 and verse 1 makes it very clear that there are wars and fightings among us because the lust, the desires are warring in our own hearts. The wars and conflicts around the globe this morning begin with the desires of our hearts that are vying for first place. There can be no peace on earth until there is peace within our own hearts. And there is only one person who can give us that peace, and that is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. This name is used by Gideon here in Judges chapter 6. In verse 11 of Judges chapter 6, we read that the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Notice verse 11, Judges 6, "And there came an angel of the Lord, sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash and the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" In verse 13, Gideon challenges that declaration, "The Lord is with you." And in essence says, if the Lord is with us, why are we being oppressed by the Midianites? If the Lord is with us, why are we in such difficult circumstances? The Midianites oppress us. The Midianites have defeated us. If the Lord is with us, why is this the case? In verse 14, this is a little bit of a paraphrase, but the Lord in essence says, Gideon, funny you should ask that. The reason I'm here, the reason I'm appearing to you, is because I'm going to have you defeat the Midianites. Notice verse 14, the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? So Gideon says, if the Lord's with us, why are we oppressed by the Midianites? And the Lord says, Gideon, that's why I'm here. I have chosen you to be the man to lead Israel in victory over the Midianites. Notice very quickly, in verse 11 there, it starts out, the angel of the Lord. In verse 12, it talks about the angel of the Lord. But in verse 14, it says, the Lord looked upon him. It changes from the angel of the Lord to the Lord himself. And we're not going to get into this at this point in this study on the names of God. We will look at this fact, but just to clarify it, whenever you see the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, it is God himself. More specifically, I believe it is the pre-incarnate Christ. Christ did not begin in Bethlehem. That's when he became a man, but Christ existed prior to Bethlehem, and the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, I believe, is Christ, who is God. And so we see this change, that this angel of the Lord is God himself. And it is God appearing to Gideon, and it is God who is speaking to Gideon, and it is God who says, I have chosen you, and I am sending you to defeat the Midianites. In verse 15, Gideon tries to convince God that he's got the wrong man, that he's not the guy to do this. In verse 16, God promises that he will give victory. He says in verse 16, the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. So in these verses, God is indeed calling Gideon to deliver Israel from the oppression of the Midianites. Gideon doesn't believe he's the right guy for the job, but God assures him, I will be with you and I will give you victory. Verses 17 through 21, Gideon needs a sign. He needs proof. And so he goes in and he fixes a meal. He brings that meal out, and the Lord tells him to set that meal upon the rock. And there's a rock there, and so he sets this meat and this bread on the rock, and the Lord takes his staff, and he touches that meat and that bread, and fire comes up out of the rock and burns it up. And it says, then the angel of the Lord departs. At this point, Gideon recognizes that he has seen the Lord. And he knows that one who sees the Lord is going to die. Now, obviously, he did not see the Lord in all of his glory, and so he's not going to die, but he recognizes that this has been the Lord in his presence, and he fears for his life. He fears that he's going to die because he has seen the Lord. And notice it in verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He fears for his life. He's seen God face to face, and he is afraid he's going to die. And then notice what the Lord says. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto you. Shalom be unto you. Fear not, you shall not die. So when Gideon recognized that God had appeared unto him, he feared for his life. But the Lord assures him that he will not die, and he declares peace or shalom to him. And then in verse 24, Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Gideon makes an altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. God pronounces Shalom upon him and he makes an altar to Yahweh Shalom. Now, what is the meaning of Yahweh Shalom? We recognize it usually as the Lord is peace, and we think of the word shalom as peace, and that's a good start. That's a good start, but it certainly has a broader and deeper meaning than peace. Usually when we think of peace, we think of the absence of conflict or the absence of war. And that is true, this word was used in that sense, but it's much broader than that and much deeper than that. The root meaning of this word shalom is really the idea of wholeness. And if you can keep that in mind, that'll help you a lot with this word shalom. It's the word wholeness. And when we think of wholeness, again, if you think of a relationship, two people or two parties, if that relationship is whole, then they are at peace with one another. So that's how this word peace comes into play, but it really is the idea of wholeness. And it is the idea of health, physical health. It's the idea of safety. It's the idea of prosperity. It's the idea of a restored relationship. And so we see these various nuances as they're used in various texts. Health, safety, prosperity, restored relationship. God pronounces shalom unto Gideon. And as he pronounces that shalom unto Gideon, what is he saying? Well, first and foremost, he's saying, Gideon, you're not going to die. You're safe, Gideon. I know you've seen the Lord, but you're safe. You're not going to die. Shalom to you. But also, in this context, he has just promised to Gideon that he is going to be victorious over the Midianites. He will be safe and he will prosper. He'll be victorious over the Midianites. And so with reference to this shalom pronounced upon Gideon, God is promising safety and prosperity to Gideon, wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. You're not going to die. You are going to have safety. You are going to prosper and you're going to be victorious over the Midianites. Wholeness of body, soul, and spirit. It's not just the absence of war. In fact, in the context, God is pronouncing this peace, this shalom upon Gideon while he calls him to go to war with the Midianites. But he promises wholeness, safety, prosperity, victory. But also in this context, we recognize that there's some promises for the nation of Israel itself. Gideon is going to lead the nation in this victory over the Midianites. And in this context, we didn't read earlier than verse 11, but the Midianites had been oppressing Israel, and Israel was crying out to God, and God said, you've been oppressed by the Midianites because you've disobeyed me. But now he promises a restored relationship with his people, that they will be restored in a relationship with him. And so as he pronounces this peace upon Gideon, he's pronouncing peace or shalom upon the nation of Israel for their safety and their prosperity and their restored relationship with himself. And so this shalom is much more than the absence of conflict, the absence of war. In fact, again, he's calling Gideon to war. But it's about Gideon himself, the wholeness of body, soul, and spirit for Gideon, and the wholeness of the nation of Israel with safety and prosperity and a restored relationship with their God. Shalom. And as Gideon recognizes this shalom, he builds this altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. He is wholeness, safety, prosperity, and a restored relationship with him. As we think of the application of this name to our own lives, I'm sure many of you immediately think of Romans chapter 5. Being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly there is a peace with God, and that is a restored relationship with him. That's a spiritual wholeness. We who are spiritually dead are made spiritually alive. We're made spiritually healthy through faith in Christ. There's a spiritual wholeness through our faith in him. There is this restored relationship. We who were separated from God because of our sin have now a restored relationship with Him, that peace with Him. And so we see there is certainly a source, and it's Yahweh Shalom, for a spiritual wholeness in a restored relationship with Him through faith in Christ. We recognize that Christ died for our sins, that we deserved that penalty of death because we're the sinners. But He took our sin upon Him and He died in our place. He took the penalty for our sin. And because of that reality, when we trust Christ as our Savior, God is able to forgive us of our sins. That sin that separated us from Him, He forgives us of those sins. And the righteousness of Christ is put to our account. And when he looks at us, He sees the righteousness of Christ. Not our sin, not even the things that we think is righteous, because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. What He sees is the righteousness of Christ and our sins forgiven, and therefore we have peace with Him, a restored relationship. Spiritually, we are now healthy, we're alive, where we were once spiritually dead. It's a spiritual wholeness through faith in Christ, as our relationship is restored with the God from whom we had been separated because of our sin. So there is this spiritual wholeness for those of us who were spiritually dead because of our sin. There is a restored relationship for those of us who are separated from God because of our sin. That is this peace with God, this shalom with God, if you will. That spiritual wholeness. You've heard me say before in that Romans 5 passage, that peace with God. The word with there is a word that really is more the idea of peace toward God. And that word with or toward actually comes from the word for face. It's the idea of peace face to face with God. We as sinners are actually able to stand face to face with the holy God. Why? Because our sins are forgiven and because the righteousness of Christ is put to our account, but it's only through faith in Him. This peace with God, this peace face to face with God, is not on our terms. We want to have peace with God because we think we can be good enough to be at peace with God. Man thinks that if we just do enough good works, if we do good things, if we're nice to people, then God will accept us and we'll have peace with God. No, it's not on our terms. It's not based on our good works. It's not based upon what we do. It's based upon what God has done through Jesus Christ. And it's faith in Him alone by which we can have peace with God. It's not on our terms. We'll never have peace with God on our terms. God has told us, Yahweh Shalom has told us how we can have peace with Him, how we can have peace face to face with Him, and it is through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It's not on our terms. There's also the peace of God, and many of you are familiar with that as well. Yahweh Shalom is the source of emotional wholeness and a complete trust in Him which removes all anxiety. It's taken from Philippians chapter 4. That peace of God that passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in Christ. In the context of Philippians 4, it's because we have trusted in God. We have cast our cares upon Him and we trust Him, and it removes all anxiety because we have complete and total trust in what God is doing and who He is. And because we have that complete and total trust in God and what He's doing and who He is, we have no anxiety, but we have peace in our soul. This is speaking of a wholeness of soul or an emotional wholeness. And once again, everyone desires emotional wholeness. Everyone wants that peace in their soul. Everyone wants the emotional wholeness of which Philippians chapter 4 talks about. But once again, we want it. Why don't we have it? Why do so many people go through life without that peace in their soul, without that emotional wholeness? It's because we want it on our own terms. And this is where I want to camp out for a few minutes here. Everyone wants peace in their soul, emotional wholeness, but we want it on our own terms. We seek peace in our soul, but we seek it in all the wrong places. Scripture speaks a great deal about this emotional wholeness. Makes it very clear that this peace in our soul comes only from Yahweh Shalom and only on His terms. But we have a hard time applying that to our lives. We want peace in our soul. We want that emotional wholeness. We want that emotional health. But we seek it on our own terms. What do I mean by that? I want you to turn to a couple of passages with me. First, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to look at a number of passages, starting here in Psalm 119 and then going to the book of Isaiah. All speaking of this emotional wholeness. Yahweh Shalom gives us emotional wholeness, this peace in our souls, but it's on His terms, not our own. Psalm 119, verse 165, probably a familiar verse to some of you. Great peace have they who love your law, and nothing shall cause them to stumble. Great peace have they who love your law. Pretty straightforward. How do we have great peace? How can we have this peace in our soul? How can we have this emotional wholeness? Love God's law. Love God's word. And if you look at the whole context here of verses 161 through 168, you'll see what he means by that, loving his word. Notice the emphasis on the word of God and our attitude towards it. Verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. First attitude, I need to stand in awe of God's word. We treat God's word so flippantly. If we do read it every day, even then, sometimes we just approach it as a duty, as an obligation. We're not standing in awe of it. Many of us don't read it every day. We're not standing in awe of God's Word. But even if we do, sometimes it just becomes a habit. We don't really approach it with awe. This is the very Word of God, the Creator of the universe. He has spoken to me. And I get to read it. Verse 162, I rejoice at your word as one that finds great spoil. An attitude of rejoicing in God's word. You think of one who finds great spoil, one who finds a treasure. Do we approach God's word as this is a treasure? I get to find it and rejoice in what I find. I hate and abhor lying, but your law do I love. Do we love His word? Seven times a day do I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Do we praise His word? Verse 166, Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. Now he moves from loving His word and rejoicing in His word and standing in awe of His word and in praising His word, and now he goes to obeying His word. Lord, I have hoped for your salvation and done your commandments. My soul has kept your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I obey your word as I love your word. Verse 168, I have kept your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. So he stands in awe of God's word. He rejoices in God's word. He loves God's word. He praises God's word. And then he obeys God's word. And in this context, as we have that kind of an attitude about God's word and we obey God's word, we will have great peace. great peace. That wholeness of soul. That peace in our soul, that emotional wholeness is only to the one who loves God's Word, who treasures God's Word, one who obeys God's Word, one who praises God's Word, one who stands in awe of God's Word. That's the terms of Yahweh Shalom. You want emotional wholeness? He's told us how we can have it. Love my Word and obey it. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, if you would. I don't want to confuse you and lose you by turning to a lot of different passages, but we'll turn to Isaiah 26 and we'll stay right here in Isaiah. Isaiah has a lot to say on this subject. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, again a familiar verse to many of you. In fact, we just sang a song based upon this verse, that hymn, "Stayed Upon Jehovah is God's Perfect Peace." Verse 3 of Isaiah 26, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Trusting in the Lord results in a steadfast mind that produces perfect peace. Do you see that in this verse? Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You trust in him, that gives us a steadfast mind upon him, and it produces that perfect peace, that wholeness of soul, that emotional wholeness, that peace in our souls. Trusting in God gives us a steadfast mind that produces peace. Now, this trusting in the Lord, notice what it involves in verse 8. "Yea, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, have we waited for you. The desire of our soul is to your name and to the remembrance of you. With my soul have I desired you in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early." This trusting in God and having this steadfast mind has to do with our desires. What is it that you desire most in life? What is your greatest desire in life? If it's anything other than Yahweh Shalom, there will be no peace in your soul. Do we seek Him early? Is our desire for His glory, is our desire for His name, that has to be our number one desire in life, or there will be no peace. We desire things, we desire money, we desire possessions, we desire our comforts, we desire relationships, we desire fame, we desire position, we desire prestige, we desire self-worth, we desire self-esteem. Not that there's anything wrong with self-worth and self-esteem, but if that's our desire, if that's our goal, self-esteem and self-worth is a result. And it comes only when our desire is God Himself. And any other desire, relationship, possessions, things, money, fame, if those are the desires of our life, if those things have first place in our life, there will never be peace in our soul. Again, James 4 verse 1 says that we are having wars and fightings among us because of the lusts that war within our heart, the desires that war within our heart. These desires are vying for first place. And as long as we allow any desire other than for God Himself to have first place, there can be no peace. And there will be conflict and wars. Galatians 5:17 says that the flesh lust or desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other. Do you understand what he's saying? Your flesh has its desires, and the Spirit of God in you, who are believers, has His desires. And these two desires are conflicting with one another. They're desiring against one another. Who's going to win in your life? Whose desires are you going to give into? The desires of the flesh are the desires of the Spirit. And until we surrender to the desires of the Spirit in our lives, there will be no peace. There will constantly be conflict. There will not be peace in our soul. There will not be emotional wholeness as long as we have any desires above God Himself. Look at verse 12 here of Isaiah 26. Lord, you will ordain peace for us. Peace comes only from Yahweh Shalom. Only He can ordain peace. Whether it be peace for Israel, as in this context, or whether it be peace within my own soul, only He can ordain peace, and it's on His terms. Not going to find that peace on my own terms. Not going to find that peace as I seek fame and riches and comforts and wealth and whatever else you want to put in there. Not going to find it. Look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. The work of righteousness or the fruit of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect or the result of righteousness, quietness and assurance. The fruit of righteousness is peace. The result of righteousness is quietness and assurance. As we are obedient to God's word and as we desire Him first and foremost in our lives, that results in peace. Wholeness of our soul. Look at Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah 48, verse 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teach you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. We sang this morning about peace like a river, taken here from Isaiah 48. And what does God say to Israel? If you had hearkened to my commandments, if you had obeyed me, if you had had me first in your life, if your desire would have been for me first and foremost, and you would have obeyed me, if you would have loved my word, if you would have stood in awe of my word, if you had obeyed my word, if you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, a constant flow of peace. But because Israel did not obey Him, they did not put Him first. He was not their first desire. They did not stand in awe of His word. They did not rejoice in His word. They did not love His word. They did not obey His word. They did not have peace like a river. Notice verse 22. There is no peace, says the Lord, unto the wicked. Comes right out and says it. If you hearken to my commandments, you would have peace like a river. But if you disobey me, there is no peace. Yahweh Shalom gives us His terms for His peace. Finally, would you go to chapter 57? I don't have time to read all these verses. We're out of time. But in verse 15, he talks about a contrite and humble spirit. And so that's the context here. He's talking about this humble and contrite spirit before Him. And with that humble and contrite spirit, he says in verse 18, I have seen His ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. So he talks about healing, healing of soul, because we have a contrite and humble spirit before Him. But Then verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. That broken and contrite spirit before him, he says, I will heal him. I will give him that emotional wholeness. I will give him that spiritual wholeness. I'll give him that peace in his soul. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. He says, if you obey me, your peace will be like a flowing river, a constant flow of peace in our lives. But disobey me, and it'll be like a troubled sea. A troubled sea that's just constantly bringing up the mire and the dirt and the sand and the crud. The life of one who does not love God's word, the life of one who does not put him first in their life, the life of one who does not stand in awe of his word, the life of one who does not obey his word, hearken unto his commandments, is a life of turmoil. A life of constant mire and crud being stirred up in the soul. Constant conflict. Or we can put on a good show sometimes. We can hide it from others. But inside our soul, we know it is not well. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. This peace comes from Yahweh Shalom on His terms. John chapter 15 talks about bearing fruit as we attach ourselves to the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And as we attach ourselves to the vine, which is Jesus Christ, and abide in Him, we'll bear fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit, and we bear that fruit as we attach ourselves to the vine. Why is it that we're constantly wanting to attach ourselves to some different vine? We want to attach ourselves to the vine of fame, the vine of prestige, the vine of wealth and money and riches, the vine of other relationships. We just constantly want to attach ourselves to these vines, thinking that finally, if I just get this, I'll have peace. But there's no peace on our terms. It's only as we attach ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we stand in awe of His Word, and we love His Word, and we treasure His Word, and we obey His Word, and we put Him first in our lives. Man is constantly seeking peace but can never find it because we refuse to submit to the will of Yahweh Shalom. Yahweh Shalom is the only source of peace, spiritual and emotional wholeness. We all desire peace. Unfortunately, too many times we desire it on our own terms. Are we willing to humble ourselves before Yahweh Shalom? Are we willing to come to Him and recognize that I need peace in my soul on His terms? Can you truly leave this place this morning and say, it is well with my soul? Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank You that it's possible to leave this place this morning and say it is well with my soul, but only on Your terms. May we humble ourselves before You. May we determine that we'll not continue to attach ourselves to some other vine seeking peace, thinking that in some other way we can finally find that emotional wholeness, that spiritual wholeness. Father, we're not saved by our works, and we're certainly not going to find peace by doing it our own way. Show us, Father, those idols of our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. cannot say it is well with my soul this morning, would you seek us out? Will you find help? Will you come humbly before Yahweh Shalom? Let's stand together. Father, again, we thank you for your promises. Promises of wholeness, spiritually and emotionally. We thank you that we've been able to come together this morning and to study your word, and I pray that we continue to meditate upon it. May we indeed grow in our relationship with you. Thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. May God bless you.